Welcome to Internet Aesthetic, a podcast about the internet, aesthetics, culture, and media. We're two Vietnamese-American women who live in a society, and we're here to analyze it. Grab a snack and hang out with us. Hi, Issa.
Hi, Lisa.
So as we mentioned in the last or recent episode, we're talking about reading. I feel like growing up, a lot of our peers didn't really enjoy reading. Like, there were so many programs around it to encourage reading, like the free pizza and the summer reading programs and things like that. So I don't really know how many people are going to be interested in an episode where we talk about reading and like getting back into reading, but it's something that we're currently like dealing with and experiencing and something that we're passionate about. So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So for context, I like really loved reading as a kid. Like my identity growing up was bookworm, and like the nerd that I am, I was like super proud of it. I read every single day. But once I got into college, that habit kind of died, and I wasn't really sure who I was anymore, if that wasn't my identity. But recently I've been getting back into it, and now that I think about it, it kind of feels like who I am again. And for me, at least, once I figured out what was and wasn't working, it's been much easier to find the kind of books that I enjoy reading and actually get into reading them. What about you, Yay! Issa?
Oh, that's amazing. Honestly, super similar to you. I was also that kid that would, like, I don't know, read a book, like, cover to cover, like, all night long, and just, like, couldn't put a book down because I loved it so much. And I don't know, I remember, like, my middle school didn't have as many books as I liked, or it didn't have like the titles I was looking for, so I would make my brother, who was in high school, like go to his library and like check out books for me. And I think I also like had like book lover in my identity too a little bit. Like, it wasn't my whole identity, but I definitely felt like a sense of pride in being able to read so much and like really enjoying it. And it also helped because my friends were like probably your level of bookworm, and so it felt like I could fit in with them more. It was just a fun thing for all of us to do together. And same, like this lasted probably until high school, and then by the time I started college, it just, I completely stopped reading. Like the only things I read were assigned readings for school, if that even, and I would pick up like a couple books here and there, but I don't think I finished too many. And just like you now as an adult, full-time working or working full-time out of college, like I've begun to love reading again. That has been Yay. Super satisfying. Our arcs are similar.
Yeah, so we can probably get into our relationship with books growing up more in depth to start. So like the way that I got into reading was my parents are like immigrants, and so they only really knew Vietnamese, and so because I was the first child, I also only knew Vietnamese. Aww. And so like my mom wanted me to learn English, and like the only way she really knew how to do that was by getting me to read a lot more books. And so she would like take us to the library every week, and then like that's kind of how I got really into reading. I didn't realize that my English was so bad in the beginning when I was a kid.
Oh, Lisa!
Like, I remember going to like after school when I was like in first grade or something, and I thought it was just like a daycare type of a thing. I didn't realize it was like teaching you how to like speak English and stuff like that. And then I don't know, I was talking to my mom about it once, and she was like, no, those are ESL classes. I was like, what?
I was born here.
But yeah. Yeah, so like the library was one of the few places my mom would take us regularly, and one of the few opportunities that we had to get out of the house because it was like free. But I had like a lot of fun like just picking out books. I don't know, it's just like a very satisfying experience to like pull a book out and see what it's about. And I actually really wanted to be a librarian as a kid because I really loved watching them like scan the books with, like, back then the technology was with like a pen instead of like the little scanning thing, and then like stamp the books with the due dates, and then I would go home and do the exact same thing and pretend to be a librarian.
That is so cute.
Yeah, I mean, I did like achieve the dream eventually because like I worked at a library, or like I worked on the campus library as a student employee. And then like when I was doing the notes for this episode yesterday, I was like, you know, if I like ever, or like when I retire ideally when I retire, I'd probably like volunteer at a library or something.
Aww. Yeah. I remember you really liked that job.
It was a good chill job, honestly. Yeah. Highly recommend working in a library. Then I don't know, like our school also held like those competitions, like, oh, who can read the most minutes like each month. And so I did slightly fudge my numbers. I would add maybe 30 minutes or something. But like, I remember at the time I was like, it's fair because I read really fast. So I'm just like adjusting the numbers for a normal reader. But then I was like still upset when I wouldn't like win. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty certain that I like remember hearing that one of the kids that would win like a lot, like straight up lied about how much they were reading. And I was like really pissed about that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was pretty competitive, actually. And then, like I said, I, like, read every single day. I would, like, go into the school library each morning and just, like, check out a book to read. I think, like, I didn't really have the issue of not finding books that I wanted to read at, like, my level. I got into, like, a lot of series. So, like, mm-hmm. I was really into mystery as a kid. So, like, Nancy Drew, Encyclopedia Brown, like, The Boxcar Children and things like that. And so there were, like, a ton of books to read. Another reason why I read a lot was just because there wasn't really anything else to do in my life. Like, my mom was really paranoid, and so we went home straight after school. I couldn't, like, hang out with friends or go to the mall or anything. And she was also, like, really strict, so we only had, like, an hour of TV time, and we could only play video games on the weekend, and even that was only an hour. Wow. And so, yeah, I just, like, there wasn't anything else to do on internet. When we finally got internet, like, in high school, it was, like, also super shitty, so it wasn't really worth it to, like, go on YouTube or anything. Mm-hmm. So I just read a lot.
Oh, such a wholesome activity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a good escape for me.
Yeah. It is escape. I noticed so many parallels with you, Lisa. Like, I didn't realize it until you mentioned it, but I think my English was also not very good growing up, despite being born and raised here. Because I remember, I mean, my parents would read to me a lot growing up, but, like, of course, they have very heavy accents. And mm-hmm. I remember, like, the vocabulary I would use is also kind of off sometimes, because that's what my parents use. But anyway, okay, well, I remember, like, not being able to read at a very high level growing up. I remember so clearly in the third grade. Okay, I also went to a very underfunded elementary school, like, in a very low-income area, so I think just the resources I had available to me were much... We didn't have reading time. Like, if we read books, like, they were... I mean, we all had to share books, so... So I went... When I transferred schools to, like, a bougier elementary school, I remember on the, like, second... Or the first day of class, my third grade teacher was like, everyone bring in your favorite book tomorrow. And so the next day I came to school with like a picture book, because that's literally all I knew how to read. And everyone around me was bringing like Harry Potter and like whatever books there were. I don't know, Magic Treehouse. And I was like, oh my God, I literally don't know how to read a chapter book. So yeah, that was a big wake up call. But despite me being behind, I also grew to really love reading, and I don't think there was any particular reason why, but my mom was also strict and I couldn't go anywhere after school, so yeah, that was one of the only options I had. Or to be honest, I liked TV more than reading. I watched a lot of TV growing up, but yeah, I felt like reading was like TV in a way, like it's just you're still consuming stories.
Yeah.
And yeah, like when you're a kid, like a lot of the books are series, so it felt like episodes in a show.
Yeah.
So just yeah, super similar to you. And also, other parallel with you, Lisa, I also fudged my reading stats in those competitions too. But my school didn't make it competitive. Like, you basically just got prizes for every, like, however many pages you read. And I would, mm-hmm. I didn't technically lie, but I would count books that I read, like, not in the challenge. Like, I would say, okay, well, I've read, like, all of the series of Unfortunate Events, so I'm just gonna count that as a part of the challenge. And so I got prizes for that. But yeah, nice. I don't know. We were both dishonest kids. But I don't think, I don't know.
No, just like when you talked about like reading at your level, did you guys do accelerated reading where you would like read a book and then you had to like take that quiz to see how well you understood it?
Yeah, I think we were tested like probably every like semester in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I think I always consistently was like average after I learned how to read. Like, I wasn't the best reader. I didn't have, like, the best vocabulary. But, like, I could read.
No, because I remember in middle school, this is another, this is another example of me being, like, a bad child. But I remember in middle school, we did accelerated reading. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was, like, a competition, but it was just, like, part of the curriculum that you had to, like, read a certain number of books or something. And you had to, like, take the tests and pass them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, I really loved taking those tests. I was like such a nerd, but like I like to read and I liked to take tests and pass them. Other kids did not, and so like there became like this thing where like students would have, they would basically cheat and like have other students take the tests for them.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a whole like operation.
It was you couldn't crazy. Do it like you didn't do it like in class, like by the teacher, like you just did it at home.
You did it in class. That was like the crazy what? Part. But like
what?
I don't know, they did, the teacher was like, I feel so bad every time I think about this now, because my teacher for that class was so nice, so sweet. I feel like we destroyed her spirit when she like found out. She was like crying.
Oh my
when
God.
She like confronted us about it. I felt awful. But yeah, that it was like a thing that was happening. Like students would like pay other students to do it.
You're saying is you got really rich, Lisa, from this no. scheme.
Okay, the thing is like so like a lot of students knew that I like to read and that I was really good at taking these tests. And so I don't remember the details of like who approached me or whatever. I just remember like, you know, someone would be like, oh, can you do this for me? And I'd be like, yeah. They're like, I can give you $5. I was like, no, I'll just do it for free because
oh my
like,
God, Lisa.
And also it felt like I knew what I was doing was wrong, but it felt like grosser to take money for it. So I didn't. But yeah, we did get caught eventually.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a dark time in my life.
Wow, the black market.
I know, it was kind of crazy.
Wow, those are the same kids that to this day, I mean, those are the same kids who would probably like pay people to write their college essays and like,
I mean, I hope they learned their lesson not to to do things for themselves.
Oh man, wow, little Lisa. Thank you for confessing that to the enjoyment of our listeners.
I know, it weighs on me.
So it's clear we both loved reading. This was part of our identities. It took a very large portion of like our living hours, but then we suddenly stopped. And honestly, I feel like the more people I talk to, like this is the norm for them too. Mm-hmm. Like almost all of my friends stopped reading in college. So we wanted to go over in this next part why we stopped reading. And we're gonna focus on like our anecdotes, but I think they're pretty applicable to everyone. So the first thing that I thought of when I reflected on why I stopped reading is that I, you know, didn't have time anymore. Like suddenly when you're in college, you have actual readings you need to do for a grade to graduate. And anytime you do anything for leisure, whether it's like TV or joining a club or hanging out with your friends, that just feels like you're wasting your time when you should be studying. And so reading just kind of falls onto that list too. And so honestly, like, even though that's the case, I found that when I say I don't have time, I still have time for fun things. I still had time in college to like watch TV, like I mentioned, or like hang out with my friends, but mostly watching TV or like, you know, watching movies. And like when if we're thinking about media, but in my media studies practice, because I was a media studies major, we really believe that all media consumption takes effort. So when you watch a TV show, you're not just, you know, turning off your brain or like you're passively consuming, like you're still, you know, interpreting the plot and forming opinions about characters. You're still, you know, trying to predict what happens next. And so why is it that like I felt like I had time to watch TV, but I didn't have time to read? So I realized it's just, you know, a muscle that you're already really good at flexing. So when you watch TV, you're already like accustomed to like predicting like what could happen next or like the tropes of the media. And it's just like so much easier to continue with that than it is to like pick up a book that you've never really heard of before and like go through the effort of understanding that. Also, like society has told us, like has conditioned us to believe that like reading is this like really high class form of entertainment and like watching TV and watching movies is somehow like a lower class form of entertainment. And so that's why I feel like people find that there's a barrier to reading in that way too. And that, yeah, it would take more time and more effort basically. But I don't know, for me, like watching TV shows, watching movies and reading books all take the same amount of effort. And I found myself like not even watching TV back in college. But that's the thing, I feel like overall, like humans or just me in general, like we gravitate toward the path of least resistance when it comes to entertainment, like whatever is easier in the moment to feel good. And yeah, for me, like reading was not on that list. How about you?
Yeah, I also stopped reading in college. It like died. Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like you're really busy. You have like things that you need to do for class. And while you were talking, I realized for me, reading feels like it takes a long time. Like I know it's gonna be like several hours of like yeah. reading a book that I in my head think that I don't have because I have all this homework, but like you can watch a 20-minute YouTube video.
Yeah.
And it's like it's just 20 minutes, but then you end up like binging YouTube videos or like Netflix, and then it's like hours later, and you could have totally read a book in that time.
Right.
But it doesn't feel the same because you're like, oh, it was just a few short videos or episodes or whatever.
Wait, do you think it's because when we were younger and loved books, like we would just like blaze through them and like we would just sit down with a book for like 3 hours? So we think we have to dedicate that same amount of time in one sitting? Because I felt that way at least. Whereas like with a show, you could watch a show in like 20 minutes. But like it feels worse to like read a book for 20 minutes. At least it did for me at the time.
Yeah, it's harder for me to step away from a book. Like if I am going to sit down and read a book, I want to like have enough time to like really read a big chunk of it, at least
like immerse yourself like, in it.
Yeah, like it's hard for me to like step away and like just mm-hmm. read for 30 minutes because then it's like, well, I've only read like a few pages, I want to read more. Yeah, I think like for me it was like I got like reliable fast internet for the first time in my life. I also had a phone for the first time. It was a lot of like internet and like technology and social media all at once, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, I can like watch all these YouTube videos now, I don't have to like wait for 30 minutes for anything to load. I don't know if I had a Netflix account when I started college, but I like at some point I got one. And that also took up a lot of time.
that makes a lot of sense. Another reason why I stopped reading, and I feel like other people can resonate too, is that adult books to me are less fun than like young adult fiction novels that I would, you know, devour back in high school. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to caveat this by saying adult books are less fun at first. And I don't know, I feel like when we were younger, almost all the books I read were like heavy on plot and action and were not necessarily like heavy on complex literary devices, for example. Like for example, Harry Potter, it's a fantastic story and it's actually like pretty easy to read. And only like in the later books in the series does they get more complex. But I feel like fiction books in the adult section tend to be more complex in world building, more like narratively complex, and like it's not as easy to jump into them right away. Like they didn't hook me as easily as like romance dystopian novels like Hunger Games or whatever. But of course like there are exceptions to this. Like, you know, there are many children's books out there that are super complex, like To Kill a Mockingbird. And there are like plenty of adult books that are super easy and that you can pick up like within a day, like The Subtle Art of How to Not Give a Fuck, you know, like books like that. But I feel like this difference in complexity is just really daunting for someone who took like a big fat reading break between high school and like post-grad life. And like for me, that was just like a huge barrier because I just felt like adult books were boring and I realized I wasn't reading the right books. And so one, I wasn't reading the right books, like genres that, you know, didn't really interest me, but I also wasn't like flexing that muscle. So it wasn't that like the books were necessarily harder, but I just like fell out of practice with the reading. And like, again, it's like that muscle you have to exercise. Like you still have it, it's just not practiced. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
I feel like at some point I was like, oh, I'm an adult now, I should be reading adult books.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like self-help or like nonfiction and like autobiographies and things like that, which don't interest me at all. Yeah. But I felt like those were the kind of things that I should be reading, or like I would see what was on like the New York Times like best-selling list and how everyone's like, oh, this book is so good, the themes are so good. And I was like, I don't want to read that though. And so I just like, I wouldn't read it because I feel like if I'm going to read, I should be reading those kinds of books, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
I think like now that I've been reading more like adult fiction, I also find that like it's not that complicated. Like it's right. as complicated as you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're the kind of person who really wants to like analyze a book and like sit down and really think about like the themes and stuff, mm-hmm. like you can totally do that. And I think I also felt like I needed to be doing that if I was going to read fiction. I should be like, oh, what are they trying to say here, and things like that.
Yeah.
And so that I could like, I felt like I should be like absorbing more of whatever I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes reading feel like a chore. And so yeah. I don't know, there were like a lot of mental blocks for me.
Another reason why I stopped reading is that I felt like none of my friends were reading and it wasn't fun anymore. Well, I just was reflecting on why I really enjoyed reading the past, and it was because I had friends to talk about books with. When I was reading Twilight, all of my friends were reading Twilight, and it was super fun to fangirl over Twilight together. And that's like what kept us super motivated to like wait for the next book to come out in the series and go to the movies together or go to the Twilight movies together and like watch those. And I remember like loving Harry Potter and like rereading it a lot because like my friends were really into it too. And like we would dream about going to the Wizarding World together. And maybe it's just all about capitalism, like franchising on like a brand. But point being, like we would, you know, stay up really late for the midnight premieres of the movies. And I don't know, I felt like I no longer have friends to talk about books with. And
yeah,
because like no one is reading around me, like I'm not learning about new books that might interest me, or I don't know, like maybe if I do get into a book, it just feels like, oh well, okay, that was it, and I, you know, the book is over. I realized like reading is not just like a solitary activity, like it was really enjoyable mm-hmm. because it was something you could share with others.
Yeah, I like really enjoyed when I found out that you also had read The Kiss Quotient. Yeah. I loved talking about that with you. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I know. I feel like part of the reason why I'm so interested in reading now is because of, yeah, like talking to you about it. And like, yeah, I got really into romance books again because you told me about The Kiss Quotient. My last hypothesis about why I stopped reading and why we might stop reading, it kind of ties into my earlier points, which is like that feeling of when you try to read again, like when you pick up a book, I felt like nothing would stick. Like I would read pages and I just like couldn't continue. Like I kept checking my phone. I kept, you know, like getting distracted, and it just felt like a lot of effort I was putting in. And even if I like kind of enjoyed what I was reading or even really enjoyed what I was reading, like I could never focus and actually read. There were so many other things I would rather do than that.
Yeah.
And like those first few pages are rough, and that was like really discouraging for me. And so I felt like every time I tried to read again, I would remember, oh, this is why I don't read. And then I would just like, you know, wouldn't keep up with like new authors or anything. So that like sense of like not being motivated really impacted me.
And I think that ties into like also maybe you're just not reading the right books sometimes.
Yeah, like in that pressure you mentioned to like read books that you feel like you should be reading, and like you not knowing like, am I just lazy or do I actually not like this book, and
yeah,
or like this genre. So that was really hard to parse through.
Why do we want to read again?
Yeah, why do you want to read again, Lisa?
I've always wanted to like get back into reading, and you know, it was like something that I've like kind of been trying to do for a while. Mm-hmm. And like I would like read one book and then that was kind of it for the year. That was like really depressing. But like, yeah, now that I've started reading books again that I like actually enjoy, it reminds me of like how happy reading makes me. It's like I can just like sit there and like read and like think about nothing else. Yeah. Whereas like the thing is like when I'm like watching videos, mm-hmm. I have like multiple tabs open, and then like I'll pause a video halfway and then I'll start watching a different video because I get bored of what I'm watching, and so I'm watching something else, and then I'm like, wait, I was like watching this other video. And I have to like go back to it. Or like I'll be watching the video and scrolling through Tumblr or Facebook or Instagram at the same time. It's just like my brain isn't like focused on anything. And for me, reading is like the one thing that I like can actually kind of focus on.
That's such a good point. It's so hard to multitask when you're reading.
I guess you can like play music. That's true. I like to play music.
That sounds really pleasant.
I did also want to cut back on the amount of time that I spend switching between like Facebook and Instagram and Tumblr and YouTube. Like trying to like see if there's anything new to watch or like look at, even when there isn't. Like I'll like it's really depressing. Like I'll spend 30 minutes like being like, oh, maybe this time YouTube will offer me a new video from the algorithm or something. I don't know.
And like they do sometimes, like maybe 50% of the time. That's what keeps you going back.
Yeah. What about you? What do you want to read?
Yeah, same. I feel like I probably read like one book for fun per year for the past few years, and like every time I read it, it feels so good. I love that experience, would do it again, and then all those barriers we talked about would come into play, and then I just wouldn't read. So yeah, it's just, it's really fun. And something that really motivated me to start or to want to start reading again recently was there are so many new like Asian American writers out there that are writing stories I wish I had growing up. Like when A Fa Love Story came out, I was like, oh my god, I need to read this. This is a representation I never thought I could have. And there's just so many authors nowadays. Like I'm in a book club called Subtle Asian Book Club, and every month there are just amazing authors who have full-time jobs, but they just decided to, you know, write for the first time, and their books are incredible. So I was thinking like, you know, now it's a good time to pick up reading again, because like I also had a resurgence, like understanding my history, like my identity as a Vietnamese American woman, and where else is this content? Like, it's on the internet for sure, but not really in narrative form. So that was cool. I also feel like a pressure that I should read. Like, I don't know, like in our 20s, finding hobbies to do, I felt like I wanted to be a more like well-rounded, well-spoken, like more educated person, because now that we're not in school, I feel like, I don't know, kind of out of touch with the world. And social media is one way I get back in touch, but I felt like, oh, what if I just introduced reading into my hobbies? Like, that would like really make me like a Renaissance woman or whatever. And so like that kind of pressure has also influenced me a bit. I know like that's all BS kind of, like I should read because I want to read and because it's fun, but I can't help but feel like it's something I need to do to be smart. But of course, like, no one needs me smart.
It's like, oh, I'm reading? Am I better than everyone?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's like a whole other topic in of itself, like this superiority complex associated with like being educated. Yeah, also, I love Goodreads. That's a platform that I've been using since like 2012. And every year I do the Goodreads reading challenge. And every year I fail it. I say I'll read like 100 books. Obviously, I didn't read 100 books. And then I lowered it to 50 books. Did not read 50 books. And then last year, I lowered it to 5 books. And I did it. So that was really motivating. And I felt like, you know, if I could do that, I can probably push myself a bit more this year. External metrics.
I was like, as long as you read any amount of books.
Yeah. And it like felt really good to read. So I want to keep doing that.
What have we found works for us and what doesn't work for us? So this is like a thought that I just had while we were talking, was like book clubs. And then you mentioned the Subtle Asian Book Clubs. Is that a Facebook group?
It is. Oh, you should totally join it. I will add you right after this.
Okay, yay. Do they just like recommend books or is it like...
Oh my God. It is such a good group. It's led by these like 3 girls. I think they're like still in college. And every month they recommend a new book. And they also get the author of that book to do like a live webinar with the members of the club. So like super big authors, and they do like partnerships with bookstores. So like there's this book called, I got this book called The Mountain Sing. It's a book by Nguyen Phan. Okay, I'm not gonna try. It's a book called The Mountain Sing, and they had a partnership with Eastwind Books in Berkeley where she like gave out signed copies of the book. So I don't know, it's just, they do really awesome stuff. Like these girls are going places. They know how to run a book club, and it's just a really cool community too. And I think every month people like chime in about like their thoughts, but it's not mandatory. It's mostly just like book recs. But
yeah. Okay, cool. Cause I think I would prefer that kind of a book club rather than the one that I'm thinking of, which is like you have a book that you like, you join something and then you have a book that you read every month, and then you have to like prepare yourself to like go in and like have thoughts about it so that you can sound smart in front of all these other people. Mm-hmm. Like I like the idea of it, of like not having to like do the work of like picking out a book to read, but at the same time it's like, what if they pick a book that you're not interested in and then you have to like force yourself to read it and then like have thoughts about it? It just like sounds like a lot of work to me.
Right,
but I don't know if that like works for you. That works for you, but I do like the sound of this Facebook group.
Yeah, I'll add you. It's like pretty casual. I know I've tried those book clubs as well, and same, like I don't think I've ever actually read the books. I'm actually doing a mini book club with my vegan friends back at USC, but we don't all read the same book. Like we just read something that month. Like one friend doesn't even read books. She just listens to podcasts. And then every month we'll just catch up and we'll talk about what we read. So that's like also, and it's on a monthly basis. So much more chill too.
That's fun.
So we were thinking about like what works and what doesn't work when you want to try to get back into reading. And this is for like speaking from the perspective of someone who used to love reading. If you've always hated reading, you still hate reading, I don't know if these tips will be helpful for you. They might be. But this is, I don't know, coming from someone who used to love reading. So the first thing that I realized just absolutely does not work is forcing yourself. And we kind of touched upon this when Lisa mentioned like forcing yourself to read an assigned book in a book club. But I feel like when you try to force yourself to read a book like you just don't vibe with, like maybe it's on a bestsellers list, maybe like other people recommend it to you, maybe it's like a required reading. You're just gonna waste your time like trudging through the book, and like maybe you finish it, but it's not going to be as enjoyable of a process because you were forced to do it. I don't know, I was talking to this friend who was like trying for the life of him to finish this like really big brain book, I don't know, like Sapiens or whatever. Like I think he said he was trying to read it for 4 months. And I told him, like, if you're forcing yourself to read it, and like he's also the kind of person, sorry, I'm like all over the place, but basically he was also the kind of person who refuses to drop a book. So he was trying to force himself to finish this book and then he could start a new book. But I told him, like, if you just drop that book like 1 week into trying to read it, you probably could have read like 5 books that you really loved in these 4 months, mm-hmm. you know, that like you've been forcing yourself. I feel like people refrain from dropping books because they feel like it's undisciplined of them, or like they're lazy, or they're like dumb for like struggling to finish it. But to me, yeah. that is not the way to read more. If you don't feel like reading a chapter, don't read it, you know, just skip a day. But yeah, I feel like you have to also accept that not every book is going to be good. Like, if you keep forcing yourself to read a book because someone said it was good, but you don't think it's good, that's also not going to get anywhere because you don't think it's good. And that's okay. Like, you don't have to like every book. I feel like people think books are a promise in a way, too. Like, once you start reading it, like, you have to finish it because it's, like, maybe you promised the book or yourself that you would. But it's not. Yeah. Like, you can let it go. You can move on to the next book. And if you do want to revisit the book, you can in the future. I don't know. That was all over the place. Basically, like, don't yeah. force yourself. If you're forcing yourself, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Did he take your advice?
So he thought my advice was terrible. He was like, oh, but like dropping a book, that just means I failed. And so I told him, like, okay, you do you. I guess like the only place I would force myself to read is if you genuinely do love reading and you love the book. Like a way to get yourself to actually read like a reasonable amount of force you can put onto yourself is just reading a page a day. Like I remember forcing myself to read just 1 page a day to get into the habit of reading, and that helped. But I guess, like, I meant not forcing yourself in terms of, like, forcing a genre you don't like, or...
like, breaking it into, like, smaller, like, an achievable chunk that you know you can right. do quickly. Because once you read that first page, you're like, well, what happens next?
Right, yeah. You just have to start that one page.
Yeah, that happened to me, though. And I was reading The Beauty Myth. Oh, and yeah. it's, like, this feminist book. And honestly, like, after a chapter, I was like, okay, I kind of get what she's like talking about. And mm-hmm. then I like read another chapter and I was like, okay, she's just saying like the same things, but like talking about it in like a different way. I was like losing more and more interest, but I kept forcing myself to read it. And honestly, I got really close to finishing it. I was probably like a chapter or two away from like finishing it, but I was wow. like, I can't do this anymore. But and so I finally like was like, I need to like just like drop this book because it's taking me forever to like read this. Like, it's a short book. It's not even that long. Mm-hmm. It was taking me so long. I was like, I would rather read something else. I think it's because I found something else to read that I was like, okay, once I finish The Beauty Myth, I'll read this book.
Yeah.
And all I was thinking about was that other book. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to stop reading this book.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, I'm going to practice like Marie Kondo, like gratitude to like The Beauty Myth. Like, I felt really bad dropping the book because I was like, oh, am I a bad feminist for like not wanting to read this book? But I don't know, like, being able to, like, think to myself, like, this isn't interesting to me. I don't have to read it if I don't want to. I'm grateful to that book because it taught me that I can just, like, stop reading something if I'm not interested in it.
Yeah. And I'm sure for how much you did read, you probably got something out of it.
Yeah.
You probably learned a lot. And the knowledge isn't worthless because you didn't finish the book. And, like, you know, whatever the last 2 chapters there were, like, it still meant something. Like, you still read it. You were still reading.
Yeah, exactly.
This ties into kind of what doesn't work, but the best tip I found for myself was to start as small as possible. The first books that I was able to just devour and help me get back into the practice of reading were novellas. Super short books, you know, maybe like 4 chapters long. One I read recently was called The Traveling Cat Chronicles, and it was just about this cat in Japan, and it was very touching, but it was short, and so I felt like I could get through it pretty quickly, and when I finished it, like that sense of accomplishment like really propelled me forward to read longer books. Graphic novels are also really fun to read and no less complex or interesting or, you know, like meaningful than like a full-blown novel. And also reading a page a day, like we mentioned earlier. So I feel yeah. like this is just a way to get yourself to practice exercising those muscles again that have been dormant for so long. And it really does work, I feel like.
Yeah, and kind of related is expanding what your definition of reading is. So, like, I remember being like, oh, I don't really read anymore. And you were like, oh, you read so many, like, articles and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's true, I guess.
You read a ton. Like, I didn't, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I didn't really consider it reading at the time because it's not, like, you know, a book. But it is reading. And, like, if that's how you read, like, you read the newspaper, you read articles or whatever, like, that still counts. You shouldn't feel bad because you're not reading if you are.
Yeah. If we were living in, like, 1950, Lisa, you would have read, like, 100 newspapers, honestly. Lisa always sends me the best articles, and like some are really long, thought-provoking, like think pieces, and I'm like, Lisa's a reader.
Also, articles are just like really short sometimes, and they're just like, I don't know, it's easier to like read an article than it is to like read a book sometimes.
Yeah. So another thing I found that works for me, it's like a psychological barrier, or was a psychological barrier, but I think what works is to stop attributing so much meaning to reading. So we mentioned this earlier, but people really hold reading on this high pedestal, like it's this super high form of entertainment and like a way to pass your time. But when you think of reading as like reading books as such a sacred thing, like you begin to make up excuses for why you shouldn't read. Like, oh, I have to be in a certain mood or a mindset to read. Like, oh, like I can't read Becoming by Michelle Obama when I'm on the toilet. Like, I have to be like sitting in an armchair, like with the light filtering softly through with my cup of coffee. Like, I would go through all of these like excuses to not read because I felt like the books deserved more. Like, I felt like if I'm gonna read, I'm really gonna pay like 100% attention to this book and I'm gonna respect it. But there was a podcast that I was listening to and I really wish I could find it, but I couldn't find it anywhere. The person who was hosting the podcast, he reads over 200 books a year. And how he does that is he doesn't think of books as needing a place or a time to read them. He would read, you know, on the subway, standing line at Starbucks, just like in between meetings at work. Like whenever he had time, he would read. And he didn't think books as like needing anything really. Like he just read. And like in doing so, he was able to read a ton. So yeah, I feel like that was the kind of mindset that prevented me from getting through books. And I felt like once I stopped doing that, like once I started like, yeah, reading in the bathroom or like just reading at breakfast just for 10 minutes, like it felt like really liberating. And then I was able to keep going because like once you're hooked into the story, like it's pretty hard to get out of it. So
yeah. Wait, when I was a kid, I would 100% read in the bathroom.
So cute.
It was really bad. No, I mean, I don't know. Like my brothers will just like go into the bathroom and like I feel like they're just on their phones. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like it's not that much different.
It's not. It's really not.
Yeah. And once you get into reading, you start like finding any opportunity to read.
Yeah,
if you're like really into a book.
That's so true. Like if you're really into reading, like those moments will come to you.
So like another tip is like maybe get an e-reader.
Yeah.
Like I did. I got it a while ago because I thought, oh, if I have like this small book, I can like check out library books whenever, because I think I got it during the pandemic and so I didn't feel like going to a library and like checking out books and stuff. And I also didn't have a library card anymore and I didn't want to like go to the library and be like, hey, can I get another one? So yeah, I got an e-reader because it seemed like easy and stuff. I have a Kobo Libra. It's really nice. It's like a lighter form factor. I liked that you can carry more books with you because I remember when I was really into reading, I would like want to bring all these books, but it was just like not practical to like bring three books when you're only really going to read one, or like maybe not even any because you're busy doing other stuff or whatever. Whereas like an e-reader, you can just toss in. And then if you don't read, you don't feel as bad about like wasting space, like packing books or anything. At first, it didn't really help because I was still like stuck in that like mindset of like, oh, I need to be reading like the correct books or whatever, or like this isn't interesting to me. And I think it was also because at the time I didn't know that I could change this, but like at the bottom of the screen it would be like, oh, you have this many pages left, and it was like so depressing watching it like slowly crawl. But like the thing is, like with reading a physical book, I liked flipping the pages.
Yeah.
And I liked like seeing how much I had left. But I think like the physicality of it changes the experience. Whereas on an e-reader, it's like a little depressing. But I found out that you can turn it off. And so it's made reading a lot faster because I'm not as focused on like, oh, I just finished a page. So I'm like one page closer to the end or something.
That's such a good point. When I talk to people who don't really read and I suggest to them like, oh, you should just get an e-reader or like read on your phone. Like they're just horrified. They're like, oh, but physical books, like I love like the feeling. I mean, yeah, we love the feeling of like flipping through pages, like that's a universally satisfying feeling.
Yeah,
but you quickly adapt, like you very quickly adapt to the electronic form. And honestly, like screens are super advanced nowadays. Like you can change the brightness settings and whatever on like your even your normal phone to make it easier to read. And like with these e-readers are super sophisticated and like just look like straight up paper. I don't know, yeah. Like what your experience with the Cobra Libra is in that department.
I really like it. I think another reason why I wanted to get it was because I remember when I was still living with my aunt and like I was sharing a room with my cousin, like she would go to sleep and it would be super dark. And there would be times when I would think to myself like, oh, I could be reading instead of like being on my laptop and like watching a dumb YouTube video. But it's like, it's dark. I can't read like a physical book. And so I was like, it would be nice to have an e-reader so that like the screen lights up, but it's not like so bright that it bothers me or anything like that. It's been nice. Like sometimes I'll like turn off all the lights and then just sit in my bed and read. It's cozy.
It's super convenient. And also you mentioned OverDrive for borrowing books on your phone. Honestly, yeah, like Libby or OverDrive, such a game changer. And you support libraries. Like whenever you borrow books in Libby, like that directly supports your local library. It's not like pirating books, which I know is very tempting. Like Libby is really great because you can have multiple library cards on it, and for a lot of libraries you don't even need to go into the physical branch to open up an account. Like you just need an address. And so I feel like a lot of people I know who use Libby like collect library cards on it. And my cousin literally has 10 libraries on her Libby, and so pretty much any book she wants she can search up on Libby and it's probably available in at least one of her libraries. So yeah, I feel like it's such a game changer.
Yeah, my aunt does that.
Yeah,
she recommended that to me too. And so I've been thinking about getting like an Oakland card because I already have the LA card.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about getting one for like the Bay Area. But the thing is, like, I was looking up how to use Libby and I don't think it works like super well with the Kobo. Like you have to like download it and then transfer it into the Kobo, whereas with OverDrive it's like on the Kobo and you can just borrow books, so it's a little easy.
Oh, I thought honestly OverDrive and Libby, oh, I think OverDrive owns Libby, so it's probably like the same experience. So okay, another way to read more is to read several books at once. And I was very resistant to this tip before because I felt like how can I read two books at once? I need to dedicate my full attention to one book, or like I'm not going to be fully immersed. I just felt like it would take away from my reading experience if I like just had another book to distract me. But honestly, like it's been really helpful because I still feel like certain books, I still have that like bias where certain books have to be read at certain times. And so sometimes if you're reading like a really heavy book and you need like a moment to sit with it, you can read that book in more quiet moments, like before bed. And if you're like kind of in between classes or in between meetings and you just want to read for like 10 minutes, I then read my lighter books, like my nonfiction books, my graphic novels. So if I think about it as if like I'm taking multiple classes at once, like when you're in university, you're taking like science classes and English classes, and it's not like the two really like conflict with each other. So I just think of it that way. Honestly, it's been working out in my brain. Like I haven't had that issue of conflating the two, but yeah, I feel like I've been able to read through more books, like, or read more consistently when I have like books of different genres to leaf through.
Maybe you're not you're not like feeling one book, but you are feeling another one. So you read that one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. I cannot do that.
Yeah, it's not for everyone. I'm still like, I can only do it if they're really different books. So like one book I'm reading now, it's like a straight up like textbook on how to build houses, and the other is like a fiction book. So it's, to me, it's as different as like reading an article online and also reading like a fiction book at once.
But, yeah, that's true. This is just kind of like really personal preference, but like I think the thing with like nonfiction for me is that it's like very repetitive sometimes. Like The Beauty Myth was like super repetitive. I feel like sometimes the topics, there's like not that much to say about it, but you need to like write a whole book about it. So you end up like writing the same thing over and over and over. You know, you're trying to hit a word count. I like really like autobiographies, I think, because there's like a narrative to them. Like Crying in H Mart was like super good because it really just felt like a story. Another one was like How to Do Nothing by Jenny O'Dell. And that did get a little repetitive, but she would like mix in stories from her life or whatever. And so it was like easier to read.
Yeah, find those genres that read quickly for you so you can get back into it.
Just like read what you like.
Yeah, basically just read what you like. Like another mindset shift that I had that really helped me read more. And we talked about this earlier, but you don't need to finish a book or you don't even need to read a book in its entirety. And this is also a tip that I learned in that podcast from the guy who reads like 200 books a year. So there's a difference between reading and finishing a book. Reading is you're reading, like you're reading a page, you're absorbing a story, you're connecting to characters. And then finishing a book is like understanding the entirety of the book. And I found that when it's kind of, it ties to our point about forcing yourself. But if you're reading a book and like there's some chapters like you're just not vibing with, especially if it's like a nonfiction book where it's not like tied to a narrative really. Or I mean, some nonfiction books have narratives, but you don't have to read things in chronological order. You know, you don't have to read like every page to understand the whole book. I found that I could just skip chapters and it's fine. I read this book called like Why We Sleep, like The Science of Sleep. And some chapters were super boring and like heavy with science. So I would just skip them and I would read the sections that actually like meant something to me or like clicked or I found like actually were relevant to my life. And I didn't finish the book like 100% per se, but I still felt like I read it. And if I felt like I had to keep like pushing myself and like read every single word, I probably would have just dropped it and like read less than what I actually did. And so, yeah, I feel like when I told my friend, like, yeah, just drop the book, like he was horrified. But thing is, like, there's no teacher like on the other side of the book who's going to quiz you on what happened. There's you don't get a medal for like finishing the book. Like reading is not the equivalent of like you said, you don't even need to like analyze the book anymore. Like you don't even need to like take notes on it if you don't want to. Reading can just be taking away whatever you want from a book. And I think of reading as like a museum sometimes. Like when you go to a museum, you don't need to look at every single exhibit in the museum to get what you want out of it. It just depends on your goals. For me, like that was helpful too, to get me to read more.
Even in fiction, like especially books where there's like multiple points of view, like sometimes you're just not interested in a character. You're like, ugh, this guy again. And so I mean, maybe you like just skim it really fast to like get to the next chapter. Or you just skip it entirely because you don't care. Or like maybe you're reading a book only because you care about like the romance or the fight scenes are really cool or whatever. So you read those.
Yeah. And you're reading. Like, don't let anyone tell you that's not reading.
I guess it's like, reading shouldn't feel like a chore is like the general tip. Is that if you kind of feel like it's a work, then don't do it. And then just like I tend to read super fast. Like even when I'm reading books that I really like, I do catch myself just kind of like skimming the words really fast. And I'm like, oh crap, did I like absorb?
You just gotta know what happens.
Anything? And like depending on how I'm feeling, maybe I'll go back. If I like really like feel like something important happened, then I should probably like pay attention. But like sometimes like that's just how I read. Like I don't want to like painstakingly read every single word and like think about it. I just want to like get the point.
Right. Some paragraphs, they just spend like 10 sentences describing someone's like mustache. And I'm like, I don't care. It's okay. You don't have to read like everything.
I guess like also related to like reading feeling like a chore is that like another reason why I didn't read as much was like as an adult, I was like, oh, I should be getting more out of the books, which like I've already said. And so like especially when I was reading like nonfiction, like self-help or books that are like supposed to be teaching you something about the world, like I felt like I should be taking notes and have something thoughtful to say about it. I don't know. It just feels like work to like sit there and like write notes and be like, oh, this is an important thing to like remember. Especially because I have like shitty memory anyway, so because like when I was reading The Beauty Myth, I was like it was a good book, honestly. Like at the beginning it was like really good. There were like really mind-blowing like sentences and stuff that I would like highlight. But the thing is, like even as I was highlighting, I was like, what are the chances that I like come back and like read these notes? Almost none.
It's like we already went through school for not even 4 years, 16 school, like
17 years
16 years of school. And it shouldn't feel like more school. Yeah, I feel like overall, you should just do what works for you and try new things. Like, I think most of the tips we shared they're very in opposition to what your tendencies are, like, mm-hmm. naturally. And so if your goal is to really stretch yourself and, like, read more, then you're going to have to be a little uncomfortable at some points. And, like, knowing the balance between being uncomfortable and then, like, not overdoing it and, like, forcing yourself is really a sweet spot for how to read more. And, like, you have to keep experimenting with, like, different methods to actually find that. But, like, once you find it, yeah. it'll feel really good. Because, yeah, like, I keep bringing it back to my friend who is still, like, I think he finally has dropped Sapiens. But, like, when I talked to him, he, again, was, like, so just horrified and felt really, combative to, like, my suggestions. But, like, when I asked him, you know, how many books do you want to read per year? And he was like, 10. And then I said, okay, well, how many books did you read last year and year before and this year? And he was like, I'm still working on Sapiens this year and last year maybe one. And then, I told him about the podcast I listened to and how this guy read 200 books and he's tried these things using, you know, the mm-hmm. methods I shared. And he said he wanted to pay respect to the books that he wanted to read. But, okay, if you're reading, like, one book a year, how is that respecting it more than someone who reads, like, 200 books a year? You should just stop, like, comparing yourself to, like, what you think yeah. you should be reading. No, okay, I'm just, like, rambling at this point. You can just cut this out. But
it's, like, there are so many books in the world. Like, you're not gonna like all of them. You're not gonna yeah. jive with all of them. Stop forcing yourself yeah. to like something that you just don't like, you know?
So have grace with yourself in those moments.
Yeah, so now for the fun part, like, we get to talk about what we have been reading and, like, what we want to read. Yay. This may include spoilers. Like, I'm someone who doesn't really care about spoilers, and so I don't really know what people kind of consider spoilers, but I have tried to, like, not, but be warned. To preface, these are, like, I guess they're kind of like book recommendations, but, like, things that I like in books is, like, romance and fluff. I really like fantasy and science fiction type books where there's, like, well-written characters and, like, amazing world build. So I read For the Wolf by Hannah Witton, and this is, like, slightly adult-ish. It's, like, sucks. So I, you know, if you're, like, underage, I don't know. But yeah, I, like, when I was reading this, I realized that I really love reading books that are twists on fairy tales, because this is also, like, a book that's, like, kind of a twist on a fairy tale. Like, you can kind of guess which fairy tale because it says wolf in it. But I realized this back when I was reading The Lunar Chronicles, actually, by Marissa Meyer. This was, like, years ago. It's a book series that also does twists on fairy tales, and it's, like, really good. Like, I bought the physical books and digitally because... I bought the physical books, like, years ago, and then I didn't bring them up with me because I didn't really have space for them, and so I bought them for my e-reader so I would have them. But yeah, they're that good for me. Anyway, this one is a little bit more subtle. Like, at first I thought it was Red Riding Hood, but I think it's actually more Beauty and the Beast with, like, maybe little Red Riding Hood bits sprinkled in. I don't know. I think I just, like, really enjoy being like, oh, this plot point is similar to, like, this, like, Red Riding Hood or, like, Beauty and the Beast, and, like, tying it together. Like, when I realized it was Beauty and the Beast, I was like, oh shit, that's so cool. Yeah, this book was, like, really slow at first. I was honestly, like, about to drop it, but I pushed myself to, like, keep reading. I was like, I'll read a few more chapters, and if I'm still not into it, then I'll just drop it. But by then I was, like, invested, so I just kept reading. And it did get really good. And there's, like, a second book that is out. Like, it came out this last month, and so it's not on the library yet, and I have to wait. And I'm so upset.
So sad. Yeah. I hate that. It's like, now you don't yeah. have to wait. I can't wait.
It's also multiple POV, which I think I like because it, like, keeps things interesting, and, like, sometimes you can, like, see things from different perspectives.
So I am currently reading a book called The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And I would say it's fiction. It is more an adult book, like, lots of adult themes in it. And it's kind of in the genre of, like, old Hollywood. So it's, like, a contemporary fiction novel, but there are flashbacks to the characters as they, like, were in, like, mm-hmm. old Hollywood. The protagonist is a journalist, and her subject is, like, a very famous actress from old Hollywood. I'm assuming it's based on, it's like a mix of Marilyn Monroe and, sorry, this is, like, not important, but, like, and Elizabeth Taylor. I think it's, like, a mix of Audrey Hepburn, Elizabeth Taylor, and, like, Marilyn Monroe. And I usually don't read books like this. Like, I like historical dramas and, like, historical romances, but this is not quite that. But it was super popular. It has like almost a million ratings on Goodreads and it's super good reviews. So I just tried it out and it was really good. It's a page turner. I'm almost done with it. And it's the kind of book where I like read it between meetings and I can't really put it down. So
okay,
it was good.
Because I was actually thinking of reading that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I tried reading it last year and I dropped it because I was like, it's fine. But it gets really good.
Well, maybe that's another tip is like, maybe come back to books that you weren't interested in and maybe you'll like them better when you're in like a different headspace.
Right. Yeah, because like I picked it up after just seeing all the ratings and reviews. But then, I dropped it because it was boring. But then I picked it up again because my cousin finished it and said it was really good. So it helps to have people who also read to give you that perspective to motivate you to keep going.
Yay!
Go for it, Lisa.
Okay. I'll see if I can get it. Another book that I've also read, also wolf related, is The Wolf and the Woodsman by Ava Reed. And I actually read this before For the Wolf and liked The Wolf and the Woodsman so much that when Kobo like recommended For the Wolf to me, I was like, fine, I'll take a chance on this book because hopefully it's like the same quality of writing or something, even though it's like an entirely different author. But yeah, this one is also a little Red Riding Hoodie, but like the wolf is like the female character, which I thought was really cool. But there's not like a ton of things that like tie it to the fairy tale here other than the wolf and the woodsman. What I didn't realize at first and then realized as I got into it more was that like it does reference like real world religions as like inspiration for like the religions and cultures that are in the book, and it kind of explores the conflict between them like super well. Yeah, the romance is really good.
Oh, icing on the cake.
Yeah, so it was good. Really good. Highly recommend if you're into fiction.
I'll put it on my list.
Like, I generally am not one to buy books just because like you can check them out in the library and I don't really care about like having books on my bookshelf and like being like, oh, look at all these books that I've read, I'm so smart. But like, I will buy a book that I really, really like if I feel like I want to read it again and again. And like, I really want to have it on hand. Right. And I don't want to like wait for the library to like have it available or whatever. And so I have been like thinking about buying this one because it's like so good.
Yay. Especially when they have really aesthetic covers and like
the
really
cover
cool
is
editions.
So nice.
I just looked it up. I was like, oh my god, Lisa has to get this. Actually, same, this is a tangent, but I usually never buy books because it takes up space and I never reread books. But for like people of color authors and like, I don't know, for every like Vietnamese diaspora book I've read, I've bought a physical copy because I feel like I probably wouldn't reread them, but I'd probably want to revisit them too. And graphic novels I always buy.
They're pretty.
Pictures. Yeah. Well, a book that I read recently that I really enjoyed was called The Right to Sex by Amiya Srinivasan. That was so good. I usually don't read. So this is a nonfiction book. The author is a philosopher. And I say that the book is more so a collection of essays. And these are the kinds of essays that would be assigned in classes in college, like, I don't know, like media studies classes or gender and women's studies classes, because the book is very much so about feminism, specifically about who has the right to sex. And so it covers consent, sexual harassment. And usually I hate books like that because they make me stressed out. And I feel like, well, I'm a feminist. I already know everything there is to know about how messed up like the world is to women. But actually this book was super interesting because it brought up so many new ideas about how we should understand women, how we understand like what is expected of them, how that impacts how we think about sex, and how sex is really tied to the political and social order of things, like how we treat women in society. So if you feel like you are a feminist, I think it's just worth it to read just a couple of the essays in there. She doesn't sugarcoat anything. She actually says feminism today tries to make its movement like a home to people, like comfortable, like one size fits all, like everyone's included. But she really covers like really ugly, scary, unstable things about feminism that I choose not to think about, but are, I think, extremely important to true liberation of women. So that was really good. And it took me forever because I was taking notes, because I feel like if I tell people about this book and they ask me about it, I have to feel like I know what it's about. And even just now, I feel like I did not summarize it very well. Yeah.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, it's hard to read, I will say, but it's good.
Okay. And then, like, the other books that I've read recently, and I've also bought these actually, is the Kiss Quotient series, which I really like. This is like honestly straight up kind of like, I feel like it's just sex with like a side of romance.
Yeah.
So, you know, be forewarned. But I did really like that. Like, the love interests are, like, Vietnamese-American men. I thought that was really cool. And I think all of the characters, more or less, are, like, Asian or, like, Vietnamese. But yeah, it's, like, really, like, easy to read. You don't really have to think too much while you're reading them. Yeah, it's just, like, a fun, like, romance book. I don't know. There's not much to say about it. It was really good.
It's on my list. And how often do you see a contemporary, smutty romance novel with Asian people? Almost never.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is like having like the love interest be like Asian men. So cool.
Actually, that kind of crossover with the right to sex, because there's a whole chapter about how we perceive different races. And for example, she talked about men's rights activists and how a lot of, like, the author is Asian. And she talks about how a lot of East Asian men feel like they have a right to tell Asian women that they can't date white men. Like, there's a lot of men's rights, Asian men's rights activists who abhor, like, interracial marriages between, like, white guys and Asian, East Asian girls specifically. And so, yeah, like, who has the right to sex, like, in that way? But, like, the author brings up a good point. Like, obviously, they're not owed sex from, you know, Asian women. But it does hurt when society tells you that, like, Asian men are not as attractive as white men. I don't know, just having more media to show. I mean, I don't think there's, like, a conspiracy of Asian girls, like, hating Asian men. But, like, I mean, it's so helpful to have, like, this kind of representation to really, like, squash those, like, that hierarchy that people have. The very racist hierarchy, like, there is.
Internalized racism against your own race.
Yeah. It's very negative compared to yours.
Yeah, I really liked The Kiss Quotient. I really liked the third book, which was, like, The Heart Principle. I did not really like the second book. I also bought that one because I was like, oh, the first and third were so good that, like, I trust that this one's going to be good, too. And then I was like, damn, that was not as good. But
it's okay.
Oh, well.
You worked with the information you had. It was a good gamble.
I mean, it's all right. Like, I think I would read it occasionally now that I have it. I spent money on this. I should read it. I already mentioned Crying in the Dark. I feel like this is a book that's, like, really popular right now, so I don't know how much I need to go into depth with it, but it's by Michelle Zahner. She's the singer of Japanese Breakfast, and this is, like, an autobiography about... I don't know that this is a spoiler, because I think she mentions this in, like, the first chapter, if not, like, the first few pages. But, like, it's kind of her going through, like, her mom's death, and, like, coming to terms with it and stuff, and looking back. And it's just, like, so devastating, heartbreaking, super sad. I was, like, in tears at certain points. Like, even though, like, she's Korean-American and it's, like, a very Korean-American story, like, I could really relate to how food was, like, a way of, like, showing love, and how, like, the mom, like, showed love to Michelle in, like, these small ways. These just these, like, little details that I could see my mom also doing that just, like, made me so sad. Yeah. It was good.
That's on my list too.
It's devastating.
That's why I haven't started yet. I don't like reading books that will wreck me, but when I do read them, they end up being my favorites. So thank you for the motivation to pick it up.
Yeah, and then I also already mentioned this, but How to Do Nothing by Jenny O'Dell. It's like a book kind of like, I mean, kind of self-explanatory. She talks about, like, how to do nothing. But more than that, it's about connecting to the world around you, not through, like, your technology and stuff, but, like, going outside and, like, noticing the world and, like, being connected to it that way. And also kind of putting aside this, like, grind and hustle culture and stuff. So I really like that, just because, like, that's also my mentality. And so I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. And it inspired one of our past podcasts on hustle culture. Or did we have a podcast on hustle culture?
I think we wanted to, maybe.
Okay.
Or I'm pretty sure I mentioned it in, like, a previous episode.
Actually, okay, I did read another book. So it's called A Wish in the Dark, and it's by Christina Sundtervatt. She's Thai, and it's actually a middle grade novel. So I think this was part of my transition to reading more. I think that books of all age ranges have a lot of value, like, no matter what your age is. I mean, okay, I don't know if kids should read, like, adult books, but a lot of middle grade novels have really interesting, exciting stories, and they try to communicate like a very powerful messages in very great storytelling, easy to understand storytelling, basically, so kids can get it. And this author is just so incredible. The book is about these two boys who grow up in a women's prison, because in this village that they live in, okay, I guess like the story overall is about like inequality, and it's such a heavy topic, but the way that this author describes how like these boys who grew up in the prison navigate life outside the prison, going through like, I guess, like regular life, it was really accessible and like such a beautiful story, very visual too, because the book was set in a magical, like it's like very realistic, but there are like hints of like magic throughout the book, which I love magical realism. But yeah, so the concept is like the city and like the village they live in is like a city of light. So when you go to Thailand, like a lot of the night markets look like this, but the way that the author made the city into a fantasy was like so beautiful. Storytelling was amazing, character development was amazing, and I couldn't believe it was a middle grade novel. Like it read like one because it was so simple, but I haven't read a story like that impactful, that really illustrated like the complexities of like poverty and inequality so well. So yeah, highly recommend. It's very short, but really good. Yeah. Oh. Did not explain that very well, but it's good.
So like books that we want to read or like are planning on reading, I just checked out Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney. And this is actually like, I think a book that's like recommended by like the New York Times was like, she's like supposedly a good author. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It sounded kind of interesting. I'm not really sure how it's going to go because it's not really a genre that interests me as much, but we'll see. And then another one is like The Startup Wife by Tamima Anam. And this is just like a book that was actually recommended to me by my manager like yesterday.
Yeah. I feel like personal recommendations are always better, because then they'll follow up with you and ask if you read it, and then you're actually motivated to read it. And it's curated to you. They probably didn't recommend it to you, or they probably wouldn't have recommended it to you if they didn't think you wouldn't like it.
What about you?
Yeah, this year I'm trying to read more people of color. So one in particular that I'm on the wait list for, it's a young adult, it's like a YA fantasy novel called Iron Widow by Shiran J. Zhao. So the concept is, it's like Pacific Rim, but it's feminist. And it's like very Asian, very action heavy. I don't really read books like that, or I haven't read like YA like that in a very long time, but I'm excited. It looks pretty good. It's also like a pretty popular book right now.
She's like a pretty big YouTuber.
Is she?
She was the one who did that Raya and the Last Dragon 4-hour video.
Yeah. Really? Oh my god. What a crossover. I had no idea. Damn. Wow. Sorry, I had no idea.
I've been thinking about reading that one too.
Yeah. We can casually read it together. Okay. We'll have to be off this wait list first.
I'll put it on my wait list too. Anyway.
So many books on my to-read list. So I joined my company's book club. It's a part of like the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion resource group. And the first book in honor of Black History Month is So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Ulou. Yeah, so I have it. I haven't checked out. I haven't started reading it yet because I'm still trying to finish up the Evelyn Hugo one. But yeah, looking forward to that too.
Yay!
Yeah. Oh my god, I feel like we could talk about books forever.
Longer episodes.
This is the longest podcast in a while.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to two nerds talk about how much they love reading. Hopefully we've inspired you to start reading too. If that's something... Wait, why do I sound like I'm reading?
Because you love reading.
Hopefully we've inspired you to start reading too, if that's something that you've been wanting to do. And we've given you like helpful tips or book recommendations. Let us know what books you're reading or like think that we should read on our Insta at net.aesthetic.
Thanks for listening to Internet Aesthetic. The music for this podcast is Rose Ornamental by Blue Dot Sessions. If you enjoyed listening, you can find us on Instagram at net.aesthetic or leave us a message on our website at internetaestheticpod.com. We hope you join us again next week.
Bye!